Thanks, buddy, for taking time to talk with me today about your dinosaur sculpting.
I'm excited to be able to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed looking at the models down in the models or life size down in the dinosaur den, the Creation Museum that you sculpted.
Thanks.
And I wanted to talk to you about the kentosaur that you just did.
Yep. Okay.
I guess it was about a year ago now, wasn't it?
No, the kentosaur, I just got it done a few months ago.
Just a few months ago, yep. Okay. So I lose track of time. when did you first get interested in building dinosaurs?
It's probably been when I first started to sculpt them and such, about 28 years ago, I figure.
Yeah. Okay, and what got you started?
Well, I was a taxidermist. And through taxidermy, I learned animal anatomy, learned animal expression, and I became obsessed almost overnight with dinosaurs. I just had to learn about dinosaurs, and that's how I know it was a God thing, because when I first started to sculpt, I couldn't tell you one dinosaur from another. I mean, when I was in school, you have one page in the science book on maybe a picture of a dinosaur in a museum or such, and so we didn't know a whole lot about them. And to become obsessed with dinosaurs almost overnight, and I had to start collecting books. And I think at one time I had over 200 books just on extinct animals, and I was trying to learn about them. And I wanted to build a life-size dinosaur. I didn't tell you this, but one of the reasons that I started to sculpt dinosaurs is because I was going to build an ultralight airplane.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't tell you that. And my wife, she knew I'd probably get myself hurt really bad in that airplane. So we kind of compromised. And I said, I'd really like to try my hand at building a dinosaur. And so she agreed to that. And that's kind of how that started.
Okay. Figured dinosaurs are less dangerous than
animals. Yeah, that's right. That's right. If I build a pterodactyl, I might get hurt if it really flies. But don't have to worry about that.
So why do you build dinosaurs?
Well, when I first started, even though I was saved, I believed in evolution. I certainly believed in millions of years. That was the hardest thing for me to give up, was millions of years. It didn't take me long to realize that evolution couldn't happen. But I still hung on to the millions of years because it was just so ingrained in me. And there was an insurance salesman that came to my house and saw me building the dinosaurs. And I was telling him, oh, this is Stegosaurus. And Stegosaurus died during the Jurassic period 140 million years ago. And he says, buddy, he says, you're a Christian. He says, there's another way of looking at this, you know. I never heard any of this stuff. And he said, would you read some literature if I'd send it to you on creation? I said, sure. So he sent me some literature from the Institute of Creation Research, ICR. Mm-hmm. And it made so much sense to me. And it went along with what God's Word teaches. And it made more sense than what evolution and the millions of years and all that stuff, what I'd been programmed into believing. And it just changed my life. It was like taking a drink of water in the desert. And I realized, you know, if I'm that hungry for that type of information, there's got to be a lot of other people in the same shoes that I've been in. And so God was turning that right then into the ministry. And as I kept building dinosaurs, Kay and I, we'd go to museums. As we travel with our models.
Okay.
And as we go to museums and stuff, as I was traveling through different cities with my dinosaurs, we'd stop at the museums, and when they'd let me, I'd measure the bones. And if they wouldn't let me, I'd just take pictures of the exhibits and stuff and try to calculate how big these creatures would have been so I could build my models, life-size, accurate models. And I realized, as I was going into all these museums, that God wasn't even mentioned. It wasn't even an option in many places. And Kay and I, we just got tired of that. And we said, we want to use what we do with dinosaurs for ministry. Because there's no question about it. I mean, how could the animals so marvelous and so big and so strong, and how could all that happen by chance? And people look at my models. This is what gets me. They'll look at my model, and they'll recognize that my dinosaur had to have a designer. Somebody had to build this. I don't care how many millions of years you'd want. If you'd look at that model dinosaur, it makes more sense if somebody built it. It's just fiberglass. It doesn't even move. And some of these same people will look at the bones of the real dinosaur that's so well sculptured. But inside of these bones, it once had eyes that could see, had ears that could hear, a brain that could think. And some of these same people that look at mine and realize it had to have a designer, it doesn't do anything, will look at an animal that's more complicated than what mine could ever be, and they say that happened by chance, given enough time. That's why God says we're without excuse for not believing, because there's no reason for us not to believe.
That is amazing. When you think about it, that we do that.
Yeah, and it has a body. If it become injured, it could heal itself. Its blood knows how to clot. You take all this stuff together and saying all that happened by time, matter, and chance. No, it didn't. We have an awesome God who's the creator. And I'm thrilled that God would use me to be able just to use my dinosaurs to point people in the right direction to give him the glory. And not only the dinosaur, then you take the plants, you take the water, you take everything, it has to come together, and it better work right, and it better be working pretty quick, or you're not going to have any life at all.
Yeah.
In the beginning, God created. Isn't that exciting? Once you get a hold of that concept, it sets you on fire, and you'll be on fire until God calls you home. Then we're going to be on fire forever for the Lord. Isn't that great?
That is great. Amazing comparison. How do you choose which dinosaurs to sculpt? You sculpted quite a few.
Yeah, I choose what I think really looks cool.
Okay.
Yeah, my favorite dinosaur has got to be Stegosaurus. And so Kentosaurus is a type of Stegosaurus, the one I just sculptured.
Okay.
But I like to look at something that I think, I think people would enjoy looking at that model. And I choose to do it. I've sculptured about 100 dinosaurs altogether. Mm. Wow. And I've talked to you about this before. Not all dinosaurs were giants, of course. Most dinosaurs were in between the size of a sheep and a bison. So they were not the big, huge, monstrous creatures that they're often portrayed to be. Some of them did get to be very big. But I choose my models. The largest dinosaur that I've sculptured so far has been the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And he's about 41 feet long, I think, is how long I built that dinosaur to be.
Wow. So I'm guessing when you were traveling, that helps. You didn't have to take the...
Yeah,
huge ones if you're...
No, I didn't. When I was traveling, I think a Stegosaurus was as big a dinosaur that I took. And like a Chasmosaurus, which is a Ceratopsian. It's a type of, it's almost like Triceratops. They're all in the same family. That was as big as what I would take. And then I had my models that I was traveling with, so they would break down. Okay. If I had a tail that was too long, I could fix it so the tail would come off. The plates on the Stegosaurus, the top plates, I arranged them so they could come off. So it made it a lot easier to travel with.
Okay.
But our dinosaurs have traveled all the way from South Florida all the way to Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how did you pick the dinosaur that we've got pictured on the web, the Kentosaurus?
I just wanted to build a Kentosaurus. I've liked that dinosaur for years. I built a smaller model, and it was robotic. I had it so its tail would move and its head move a little bit. Years ago, but it was only 6 feet long because at that time, the information that I found on Kentosaurus, that's how big they said he was. But since then, I've got a lot more material on Kentosaurus, and he grew to be between, I'd say about 18 to 20 feet. That's one of the larger ones that we found. So I built a big model of Kentosaurus. Mine's about 20 feet, so he'd be one of the big boys.
Okay.
And I just like that dinosaur. I like the horns that go all down its back and those plates that's on it. I just wanted to build a Kentosaurus. I'm so glad when Ken Ham came to me with the idea of sculpting another dinosaur, that's the one that I said, I'd like to build. Ken, what do you think of this? And I sent him some pictures of it, and we kind of agreed, and I went to work.
Okay.
Did you know I built that dinosaur in 26 days?
You said it took you 26 days to build the Kentosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal? Or yeah. How long does it normally take?
Normally, like on the Tyrannosaurus Rex, I was about 2 years building that. It's 40 feet long, and it's a big dinosaur. Now, that's not working every day on it. That's because I might work 8 hours today on it, might work 2 hours tomorrow on it. I might let it go for a week, and then I might come work 12 hours on it. But all together, and I don't keep track of it most times as how long it takes. On the average, for an average-sized dinosaur, it's about 20 feet long or so. 3 or 4 months is what I like to take. I did the Kentosaurus in 26 days because we were on a deadline, and it had to be done. And my wife, she helped me on that. My daughter, Lydia, she helped me on that dinosaur. And usually I work in the studio by myself. I hardly even play the radio. I just, I used to have one of my pets with me, one of my dogs or something, just to keep me company. But on Kentosaurus, different. So I appreciated Kay and I appreciated Lydia being able to help me out on that model. Because while I was working, what saved me time to get it done, because we work like 12 hours a day on it. And so they would be taking the epoxy, mixing the epoxy up, and started to apply the epoxy on the legs and stuff. Then I'd usually be the one that would go and do the skin texture, make sure that we had everything right. But that helped me a lot when they were doing that. But most times, no, I work by myself.
Okay, I'm thinking of the Kentosaur, 12 hours a day for 26 days is just over 300 hours, I think. And that's just your time. So sounds like maybe 400 to 500 man hours.
Probably, yeah, because I had help on that. And appreciated the help getting it done. And boy, I was, and see, it had to be in a certain area, so I had to figure out the space that I had it in, because I couldn't make him 20 feet long just in a straight line. It's too big. So that's why I had to bend a tail. And so we went to the museum, measured the space, and then I cut that out on paper, and then I built a dinosaur on that so I could see where exactly I needed to put
Bendy's tail. That's the space where the dinosaur is displayed now.
That's right.
So you had to know, you had to make it so it would fit the space that was allotted for it in the museum.
Yep, because if I'd have made him just his regular size, he would have been too big.
Okay, so he's got his head turned and his tail.
And that's a challenge, because trying to get those measurements right, because I just did it just with a tape measure and just standing, well, here it looks like it's 15 feet this way, and we got to go 8 feet this way. Well, it goes this way about 7 feet. Mm-hmm. And I had to calculate all that in to make my dinosaur fit those little spaces. And that was a challenge in itself. In fact, I bent that tail several times in order to get that. I think I'd have it once, and I'd set him up on there. Oh, it's too big yet, and it's not going to work, and go back to work on it. We had a challenge to get it done in that length of time. That's as quickest that I've ever built a dinosaur that size.
Yeah, less than a month.
Yeah. I hope I don't have to do it again. You know, if I had about 3 months to do that, it'd been a piece of cake. It'd been easy to do it. But I'm glad I got an opportunity to do Kentosaurus. I hope the folks that come to the museum check it out in the dinosaur den.
Can you describe the process of fabricating and painting the dinosaur?
On my Facebook page, I put every process as I was working on this dinosaur, from my sketch all the way to the foam blocks when I first started carved out with a chainsaw out of foam and gluing the foam blocks together. Then I took my Bowie knife, and with my Bowie knife, I shaped the foam blocks a little bit more, getting his anatomy more correct. Then I took a file to the foam blocks and got more detail in it. Then I fiberglassed over the entire foam blocks, and then I put my skin texture on, which is made out of epoxy. Okay. And that's kind of how I did it, and painted it up, and that's what they see in the museum.
Yeah, I looked at some of the pictures, and it looks like it's a pretty messy process.
Well, fiberglassing is. I know my daughter, Lydia, she ruined her sister's jumper that she gave her to work on, because she's underneath that dinosaur just working like a little trooper, and so is my wife. And you know, you have the fumes and stuff from the resin too, so we open up doors and have a big fan that's blowing, and we wear masks when we can. Masks is really hard for me to wear though, because they give me headaches, and so I do better without the mask. I just try to be careful. So
you're talking about the epoxy and the skin texture of the dinosaur.
Yep.
How did you get all that texture on there?
Well, what I did on this particular dinosaur, there's two ways that I like to do it. And I took a piece of clay and I carved out of the clay. I just put it on a table and I carved some scales. Mm-hmm. Then I took a silicone mold of that. And from that mold, once I put the epoxy over the fiberglass, it was like putting cookie dough out. You know how you mash it up with a roller and it's just flat. But I needed to texture it with scales. So I took that mold that I made and I pressed it in. It's like pressing your hand in mud. You take your hand away, you got an imprint of your hand. Mm. With that mold, when I pressed it in, I had the detail of all those scales, and that left a real convincing looking skin texture on my dinosaur. Another thing that I did is I take a dowel rod, a wooden dowel rod, and then I carve scales in that dowel rod, and I just roll it over part of the model, and that leaves the skin texture on as well. Okay. That's my favorite ways of doing it.
Okay. What would you say is the most challenging part to building the Kentosaur?
Oh, most challenging part. Boy. Getting the legs and getting the right and the left side to match together. Because you have the tendency to make one leg a little bit fatter than another, and you got to keep going over. And then setting the eyes, making sure the eyes on both sides are the same distance apart, getting and trying to get the right and the left side symmetrical to one another. Mm. That can be a bit of a challenge. And then another challenge is once I sculptured this dinosaur, because I sculptured him, he's almost like a soldier standing at, like he'd be at attention. Mm-hmm. And I had to cut its tail off then I had to cut its head off, I had to cut the legs all off, bend all this stuff, and then I had to reshape it so that it was looked like a... it wasn't jagged, so it was nice and smooth to bend and all these things. Mm. And that was really challenging, too, and keeping things standing up while I was doing that. And another challenging thing is when you're working underneath that dinosaur, Putting the skin texture and fiberglass on so you're not underneath it and all that's dripping in your eyes, which has happened to me and it burns like fire, is to getting it turned over so that I can work on it while it's laying down. Then I call my neighbors over and they come and help me lift the dinosaur back up and get in position. So all of that's a challenge, but it's fun. You know, the most rewarding thing is when you get it all done, you stand back and look at it and say, yeah, I like that. I'm glad I got to do that. And then, too, I don't need any critics because I'm my worst critic. Mm. And I always find something, I wish I'd done this a little bit different. One thing that I've learned to do is if I do see a mistake and I catch it, is to fix it. And I've let a couple things go because I was too lazy to go back and fix it, you know, just be honest with you. And then you got to live with that. And then I think, oh, man, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to go ahead and fix it. But when you get everything all done, to know you got to take a saw and saw that whole section out and do it again, you don't really want to do it, but you're really glad if you do.
Yeah, so it's worth doing it, getting it right, so you don't have to look at your mistake.
The way I feel, whether I'm doing music at the ministry or whether I'm speaking or whether I'm building dinosaurs, I think it's important that we as Christians give the Lord the best that we can do. And I try to do that, and I really feel that Christians ought to we ought to be as good as what the world has out there. And that's one thing I love about our ministry, because we have quality that goes on here, from any of the office personnel to anybody, the speakers, to the artists that we have working here, to the museum displays and stuff. We do our best to do the best we can, and so God will get the glory. I feel strong about that.
Not giving God our leftovers.
No. I've heard people say, and I cringe when I hear people say, well, we're going to give this to the church. We don't need it anymore, you know. We ought to give God the best, not what's left over. God gives us so much, and we just need to be more appreciative and uplift Him with the best that we can.
What kind of facilities do you have for? I mean, these things take up a lot of space.
Yeah. Can I tell you a quick little story? When I first started to build dinosaurs, I built them in a barn, a big red barn. And I have a joke telling people, I say, my barn was an interesting place for a drifter on a cold winter's night. If you'd walk in and see those life-size dinosaurs, he was out of there. But when I met Ken, it's been about 19 years ago when I first met Ken. Yeah, Ken Ham. And Answers in Genesis is brand new. It's a ministry. They were doing one of their first seminars near Mount Vernon, Ohio, and that's close to where I live. So I'd read some of Ken's books and watched some of the videos. Back then it was video days, and I wanted to go and see him, because a lot of that literature that they had really helped me. I was building dinosaurs and I was speaking on the side too. I was back in those days, I was going to churches and speaking, but just locally. I wasn't doing anything like what we are now. And so I wanted to see my dinosaurs put in a creation museum that I was building. And in fact, I was going to build a museum where I live, and I live way out in the country, so where I live is no place to put a museum. So I went, and during the book break, I walked up and introduced myself to Ken, told him I built life-size dinosaurs. I said, Ken, after the seminar's over, would you like to come home and see my models? I didn't think you'd do it. And because how well I know, when you're traveling on the road all the time, you get a chance to go home after seminar's over. You want to go home. You don't want to go other places. You're ready to go home to see your family. But it surprised me. Ken says, yeah, mate, he's from Australia, so that's the way they talk. Says, yeah, mate, he says, I'd like to come see your dinosaurs. And he says, you care if I bring Mike Zovath with me and Mark Loy and Dr. Gary Parker and his wife Mary? So you can imagine the surprise on my wife's face when I said, honey, guess who I'm bringing home for dinner? So I took him home to our log cabin where my wife and I live on our small farm in central Ohio. And took him up to the barn. He saw the dinosaurs, and you could see his eyes light up because they're professionally sculptured, and he saw how they could be used in the Creation Museum. And we went back down to our cabin, and I think we were drinking some Coca-Cola or coffee or something like that, and Sloppy Joe sandwiches. And that's when Ken found out that I was a singer. And he saw my guitar gathering dust in the corner. See, I used to pick down around Nashville, Tennessee. I was a singer-songwriter in Nashville for a while. Things didn't work out for me. That was a God thing. Got me out of that. Praise the Lord, He did. And the energy that I was using in Nashville to write songs and try to be an entertainer, that's when God turned that into my sculpturing. I didn't even know I could sculpture. And I started sculpturing dinosaurs, and that took all for me. And that's kind of how that all worked in together. I probably should have said that right at first, but I got a little sidetracked there. But anyway, that's how that came together. So he saw my guitar gathering dust, and he says, play me a song. And I played him a song, didn't think he'd like my music at all. And to my surprise, he did. And they started using me at some of the seminars and things. And it was a dream that took 32 years for it to be answered. Because from the time I was 14 years old, I knew I wanted to write songs and sing. But it just didn't look like it was working out. And I tell people that so you don't give up on your dream. You just don't quit. Sometimes God has another avenue he wants to teach you. See, if I would have made it in Nashville, I'd never know that I could sculpture, and I sure wouldn't have had a ministry. So God knows far better than me, and I wouldn't change a thing. We have an awesome God, and the whole thing is a God thing, and I give him every ounce of the glory of what I do.
Yeah, that's really, really neat how he brought your music back around to combine it with the dinosaurs after he taught you that.
Yeah, and you know, it's such a fit for me to be here at the Creation Museum because, I mean, where else could I fit in any better? I build dinosaurs, I talk on creation, I write songs on creation, and I get to do it all right here. That's a God thing. Nobody ever going to convince me it's anything but.